This is the My Lady ADHD podcast, a place to find common ground with other ADHDers, where we learn all about our ADHD brains while laughing alongside amazing guests who really get it. My name is Trina Haynes, and I'm so grateful you're here. Let's do this thing together.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm so happy to be here. I hope you are too. Just a couple things before we dive into today's episode. I'm really excited about this one. We're going to be talking about ADHD and memory, so I want to say that before I forget. Yeah, I'm sorry for that. I probably should edit that out, but I'm leaving it. You're welcome. So a couple things. I am leaving for the ADHD Women's Retreat tomorrow. Actually, when you're listening to this, I will be there already. So I'm just so excited about that. If you are interested in joining us on an ADHD Women's Retreat, I will put the link in the show notes where you can sign up to get some email notifications on when we're doing our next retreat. Excuse me. So make sure you check that out. It's just amazing. I can't even explain how wonderful it's going to be. So I think it would be worth your time to check that out. Another thing is that I have one ADHD life coaching spot open on my roster. If you're looking for coaching, I will put the link in the show notes for you to check that out as well. I have one spot available. If you do sign up in the next week, I probably won't respond right away. So just keep that in mind. I will be in Jamaica. So yeah, I think that's really all I have for today. I also want to share that while I'm in Jamaica, I will be followed around by a documentary crew. And I will be sharing more about that later on. I believe the next episode that will air, we'll talk all about the documentary that's being filmed. And I think it's really interesting. I think you'd be interested in that as well. So without further ado, I really want to dive into this episode featuring my friend Jesse J. Anderson. Jesse and I are really, really close. We talk almost every day, and we've taught workshops together. And he just released his first book called Extra Focus, Quick Start Guide to Adult ADHD. And we're going to talk about memory, and we're going to talk about his book. And I think you're really going to like this conversation. So let's dive in.
Welcome back to the podcast. I'm super excited to be joined by my friend Jesse J. Anderson. Welcome.
Thank you. It is so great to be on the pod.
This is like so long overdue. I don't know what is wrong with us. How have you not been on my podcast yet? I don't understand.
I don't know. We pretty much talk all the time. Like we're very often talking about just the world of ADHD and the world of, like, you know, posting on Instagram and all that sort of stuff. Ever since, you know, we were pretty good friends before when we met online, but then we went to the conference last year and really got to be kind of best buds in this whole.
You were my security blanket at the conference. Like I needed a buddy. So I didn't want to have any of those moments where I was like standing there awkwardly and didn't know anyone. And you agreed to like be my person at the conference. And this year we're doing that again. I don't care if you want someone else, you're stuck with me. But yeah, we've been really good friends. We've done workshops together.
Yeah.
We've done like, I don't know. I feel like this is just so overdue. I've been on your podcast. He has a great podcast called ADHD Nerds. And so, yeah, welcome. I'm really, really glad you're here. It might take us another year or two to schedule the next one. So we need to get everything we need to say out on the table right now.
It's going to be a 6-hour episode today.
Okay. I'm fine with that. You know, some episodes I'm like, oh, I bet this will be 20 minutes. And then it's like 2 hours later and we're sitting here talking about like socks and potato chips. Like, I don't understand. Right. It goes on such a tangent.
I think that's what makes that's what makes ADHD friendships the best. You can go on those tangents and just sort of go like who knows where you end up, but you're kind of just in that world together.
No, because we can keep up with one another. And I think in like a neurotypical world, I have to like slow my roll, and just the idea of trying to slow down and not spit everything out of my mouth gets me all confused and all flustered. And then I end up like feeling anxious. And when I'm with people with ADHD, I definitely feel like you can keep up with me. I can keep up with you. We can bounce around all over the place and I'm still good. and it's just yeah, so it's, comfy.
It feels like we can juggle 10 different topics at the same time and just grab one out of the air at random. Like, oh, I'm going to talk about this thing now because that's something we mentioned 20 minutes ago.
Best.
And something else popped to mind and
it's
let's go.
It's the best. It's the best. Awesome. Yeah, it's so wonderful. So one of the things that we want to talk about today that I'm really interested in talking about is memory, and specifically prospective memory. I want to say that correctly. It's a doozy.
I believe it's like pro, it's spelled out like P-R-O, prospective memory. So it sounds like perspective memory, but it's like prospective memory.
Nice. Can you spell that in a sentence? Can you use it in a sentence?
Yeah. So do you want to just dive into that right now?
I would love to dive into that right now. What is it? And first of all, like, why is this? And this is probably related to like why we struggle with memory or like how, just tell me what it is, Jesse, please.
Yeah, let's dive in. So this is one of the things that actually when I was first sort of like when I first got diagnosed and I was seeing like a therapist and sort of talking about the different things I struggled with the ADHD. I think at one point it'd been a few months and I just sort of like at some point asked her, I was like, hey, what do you think from your perspective, what is my biggest struggle with ADHD? And she was like, you forget a lot. She's like, your memory is definitely one of those things that is very obvious to me. And that was like really surprising to me.
Very interesting that you remember this. Just saying.
Yeah, it was one of those, what is it from the movie?
Poignant moment.
Movie, that core memory or whatever. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was really surprising to me to kind of hear that. And I think it's just because our brain is so good at filling in the gaps. And so like, if I don't remember something, instead of my brain telling me that, hey, you don't remember that, it fills it in. And it's just like, this is probably what happened. And I hear it and believe that that's what happened.
That's creative.
It's super creative and very problematic in relationships because you feel like you remember it. You it doesn't feel like you're making something up. It feels like, no, I remember that I said this and you said that and then this happened. And is, you know, obviously cause a lot of conflicts in sort of relationships. That was one of the first sort of times that I've kind of realized that like, oh, memory is a really big part of this ADHD thing. Prospective memory is like a specific type of memory, opposed to like short-term memory or working memory. Basically, prospective memory is like remembering to remember. It's like when you, so say you're like in the middle of the day, you're like, oh, I need to pick up milk on the way home today. And then what would happen for most people, like a neurotypical person, is like 3 hours later, they finish work. And then their brain remembers using their prospective memory of like, oh yeah, I'm going to go get the milk. But people with ADHD, it's like,
what a life. What a life.
Right? Yeah. So for
us,
that
kind of pisses me off. I'll be real honest with you. What you just said pisses me off. How do people do that?
It sounds so great. Like really your brain just like tells you when you should remember the thing. And that doesn't really happen for people with ADHD. So there was a study they did on it. And I'm trying to remember exactly what the study was. I think they had like a lab where they brought people into the lab for whatever the study was. And they kind of did some on the fly, like memory tests in the lab. And I don't know exactly what those are, but the results of those were that people with ADHD were pretty similar to the people without ADHD in, for those in the lab tests. But then one of the things that they did while they were there was like the, you know, they had the subjects or the people like write down, I don't know the number, but like 5 or 10 things that you're planning to do this week. Like, what are some intentions you have for this week? Something you want to get done. And so they wrote the things down. And then as they left the study, they told them, okay, call us back in 3 days. And then we'll see like where you're at with those. Like if you did those things or whatever. And as you might expect, like the people with ADHD, most of them just didn't even call back at all. Like complete, not only did they not remember to do the things they intended, they didn't even call back for the study. But that was, they kind of, you know, when they designed the study or whatever, they kind of suspected that might be the case. So they called out to the people. And once they got a hold of them, they checked like how many of the intentions did you do and how many do you even remember? And I don't remember the exact results, but it was like this stark difference. Like some of the neurotypical people also forgot, but it was like vastly so much more. Like with people with ADHD, it's like, we didn't remember what we said that we were going to do. We didn't do any of it. It was like, you know, we left the lab and immediately like five new things came to mind that we needed to do instead. And then that old list was just sort of gone forever. It's like you shoved it in a drawer and shut the drawer. It's like once it's out of sight, I'm never going to see or think about that list of things again.
I felt like such a gut punch when you explained that because like, I think about how hard it is to like function in my life with that, just that one piece of having ADHD impacts so much of your day.
Like, yeah, it's so, there's so, I feel like so much of my life living with ADHD is like having these like great intentions. And I think that really connects with this prospective memory. Like I have intentions to do good and like to be helpful and to be productive and all those things. And then like my actions so often don't line up, like they don't match where my intention is. So
but it's
like
not I want to do this stuff. It's right. Forgetfulness. It's
not, yeah. I'm not choosing like, oh, I don't want to do those things. It's like, I want to do those things. And then they've just flowed out of my brain without me noticing. And then I'm like,
yeah.
And it's so frustrating, especially before, you know, before I got diagnosed, it was so frustrating having no idea, like, what the heck is wrong with me? I said I wanted to do this thing and I meant it. Like, I wanted to do this thing and I knew it was really important for, I don't know, for like a relationship because someone was depending on me or for work or whatever it is. Like, I had this great intention and I didn't choose to like not do it. I didn't make a choice of like, oh, I want to do something fun instead. Oh, it just like left my brain.
I just remembered a funny story. I didn't know I had ADHD at the time, but I worked with in an office and there was a girl that I worked with that had a toddler and I had a toddler and I was like, hey, there's this toy that my daughter's not playing with. It's like a little dollhouse. I'm going to bring it to work. I'm going to bring it to you so your kid can have it. Literally, by the time I remembered to bring it to work, the kid was not a toddler anymore.
Like, oh, is this for my fifth grader?
Every few days she'd be like, hey, you're gonna remember that thing? And I was like, yes, I'm gonna bring the thing. The thing. I'm writing the note. I'm gonna set myself a reminder. And every freaking day I would go to work and not have the thing. And
it's brutal.
Like, it made me look like, I don't know, like if I thought it made me look horrible.
Unreliable.
Like I just felt so unreliable and horrible, but I had every intention to bring that toy. Like I didn't need it anymore. I volunteered to give it to her. I wanted to give it to her. This was something that I thought this child would enjoy. Literally years later, I brought it and I finally brought it. I was like, I did it. I brought the thing. And the kid was not even interested anymore. I was like, totally moved on. I didn't know I had ADHD at the time. So like, I just think, wow, what a freaking loser. Like, why are you, I would of course be brutal to myself all the time back then.
As I'm a little most people with ADHD are, I think that our self-esteem takes like such a beating because we're just like shaming ourselves all the time because we have this intention to do something. And then when it falls short for like the memory being a big part of it, but all the other issues like difficulties with you know, with managing and understanding time and like motivation and all those things, they just like add up and there's like nowhere to point the blame. Like, especially when you're not diagnosed, cause you don't even know why. You're just like something, I don't know, my brain broke. I don't know why, but something is just wrong with me. And so your self-esteem, you know, you're just tearing yourself up over and over and over, blaming yourself. And other people are blaming you too. And so it's just like this dog pile of like shame and self-blame.
It's
awful. It's brutal.
Yeah. And you know, honestly, this has been a topic of conversation in my house because I know how much this impacts the people in my life. Like I know that this has probably got to be really difficult to deal with. And like my husband in particular has been getting kind of frustrated with me lately because I'll ask him something and he'll say, I told you, like, I already told you three times, you know, we're going to dinner at 6 p.m. on Friday, like that kind of thing.
Right.
And I literally had to look him in the eye and say, like, I think you might have to start treating me like this is dementia or something, like with sympathy and with like empathy and sympathy versus like this frustration thing that you're feeling, which I understand the frustration, but you may have to look at it as more like, I am not doing this to hurt anyone. I'm not doing this to like Like, this is, I'm struggling here. Like, I actually need your help remembering things. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
It's bad.
It's so hard. It's getting really bad. It's so hard because, oh, go ahead.
I think, and I don't know if it's getting worse with age, and I'm sure it will continue to get worse with age, but it does feel like I've hit a point where, like, it's becoming very obvious and very difficult to deal with for the people in my life that are closest to me.
Yeah, it's so hard too, because like on one hand I'm like, why don't you realize that I'm having this difficulty because of this thing with my brain or whatever? But on the mm-hmm. other hand, it's like, it's so invisible. It's not like I'm walking around with crutches or something that's like, you know, if like, you know, years ago, my brother broke his leg and he was on crutches and we had to do stuff to help him out because it was very obvious that like it would be so much easier for me to walk over and open the door for him than to watch him struggle with trying to do it while balancing right. on one leg and stuff like that. But with ADHD, like that difference and like, oh, it's going to be so much more difficult for them with ADHD to be able to remember these details to do the thing than it would be for me. And so there's like this difficulty there with the invisibleness of it.
It seems yeah. intentional. And like we've had, and I don't know about you, but we've had moments like almost every day. Like, let's say I'm downstairs and I'm going upstairs. My husband will say, can you grab XYZ while you're up there? Does that thing ever make it back downstairs? No. But the thing that I went up there, I probably forgot that too, right? I probably got distracted and lost upstairs and like all
right,
confused.
Right. You know,
and it's so frustrating for him. And it feels like maybe I don't respect him. Like I'm not like,
that's
caring.
The part. It communicates something that you're not meaning to.
And I'm like the most loving, caring person that I know, to be honest with you. Like I'm very, very kind. And like, I really want to remember to do these things, but it's just, it's gone. Like there's, and I know we've taught in our workshop, like a little bit about shelf space in the brain. And like, maybe that's something we can talk about too. And I relate to the whole shelf space thing, because I picture things just like falling off the shelf in my brain.
That's like, when I think about working memory, that's what I think of it. Like we have limited shelf space. Like, most people have like a bigger shelf and they can kind of put all the stuff on there. Kind of like what you're mentioning, like when you go upstairs and you're like, oh, I'm going to get this thing for me. And your husband mentioned to get this. And so I got to get that thing. But then you like walk up the stairs and you notice like some clothes strewn on oh, I got to take care of those clothes that are there. And then you get to the top and like, oh, why is this door still open?
And the
or why is the
gone.
Towel on the floor?
The thing is,
and
yeah.
Yeah, you gone. Ran out of stuff. You had to put that other stuff onto the shelf and it pushed off those things that you intended to do when you get up there. I mean, I was going to mention before, one strategy, I think strategies are kind of tricky with ADHD, because there's no like perfect strategy, but I like to kind of collect strategies so that I can try them and use them for a while. And then when they don't work, I don't feel bad about it. I'm just like, all right, that one's done for now. Mm-hmm. But with that sort of like going up the stairs to remember something, I will, before going up the stairs, like say it's those two things, like the thing I want to get and then the thing that my spouse or my partner mentions that I should get to. So I'll literally hold my hand in front of me and then hold up my two fingers and look at one finger and think, this, like, get the clock, and then the second finger, get the jacket or whatever those two things are. And then I'll kind of hold those two fingers up as I walk upstairs.
But isn't that crazy that we have to do that?
It's totally crazy. Like, I think that's a lot of like, making ADHD work for you is accepting that like my strategies are going to look insane to other people.
Okay. Well, you know what my strategy is? If let's say I'm coming upstairs to get a hat and a pair of socks, I'll literally have to sing. I'll be like, getting a hat, getting a pair of socks, getting a hat, getting a pair of socks. Like, I'll make up songs.
That is awesome. So I love it.
I'm constantly singing around the house and everyone like makes fun of me, but that's phone numbers, street addresses, any code for anything. Like, it's song. I have to do it by jingle or song, but even right. then those can get a little wishy-washy. Like, I still can change the numbers up if they rhyme. Like, it's
yep,
not
yep.
a perfect scenario, but it does help. And that is the strategy that I've come up with to like remember things. But the problem is if I'm singing my song going up the stairs and then the dog stops me, and I play with the dog and the song,
or your phone buzzes and you get a new text
anything,
message.
Anything that interrupts that, anything. And this, I've thought about this too, because I used to wait tables back when I was in college, and I was a great server, but I obviously had to write a lot down. But let's say somebody would like stop me and be like, can you get ketchup? I'd be like, okay. So in my head, I'd be like, ketchup, 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 ketchup. Like I would just repeat it over and over again. But if someone else stopped me,
it's all
the
over.
Ketchup's gone. The ketchup is gone. They're not getting the ketchup. Like it, right. I could not, like as soon as I'm interrupted, that thing is deleted. It is like control alt delete.
It's that limited
down.
Shelf space. It got that ketchup got shoved right off the shelf.
But how do you explain that to like a neurotypical person that just does not understand how bad it is? Because I think it's much worse than people even talk about. Like I think the memory stuff that we deal with as ADHDers is so impactful to how we live our lives. And I just don't think people are really like aware of that at all. Because the name ADHD does not mention that at all.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think this is the one of the things I mentioned. My therapist, when I first found out about ADHD, well, initially I was like, well, I don't have that. That's not me at all. That, because I had this preconceived notion of what I thought ADHD was. Same. And then when I learned a little bit more about it, I was like, maybe I should look into this more. But one of the things that I remember talking when I first started seeing the therapist, and then it initially was like all ADHD, and then it sort of like became a combination ADHD and, hey, let's like fix a marriage that's been dealing with undiagnosed ADHD for 10 years. Yeah, so, which was super, super helpful. But one of the things that we really early on dealt with was the fact that every single night, my wife, like before going up to bed, would say like, hey, can you take out the trash? And I'd be like, I'd put that on my little shelf and be like, yep, got it. I will take out the trash before I go to bed. And what I didn't know at the time was that was me relying on prospective memory. Like I was like, I'll remember to remember later. Like when I get up off the couch, I'll go take care of the trash. But of course, what happened every single night, I completely forgot. I walked right past the trash can, I never made a decision, never thought about it again. But when I told her, because my brain was filling in the gaps and I didn't realize that this was happening every single night, I just continued to tell my wife every single night, like, yeah, I'll take out the trash. Yeah. And I forgot literally every day, like 360 days out of the year, I would just think that I'm going to remember every time. I'm like, this time I got it. But that became actually really, it became really helpful because the therapist, knowing ADHD really well, like believed when I said, like, my intention every time is like, I'm not trying to blow off my wife. I'm like, I'm not trying to say, just go away. I'm going to tell you this so that you leave me alone. And then
which is how I would have perceived that as well. Right. I would have been like, right. He just doesn't want to do it.
Totally get it. Like, that's what it communicates is like, well, he just doesn't want to do the trash. So he's telling me he'll do it later. And he's never going to do it. So he's just being a jerk or whatever. And so what my therapist suggested, what we did was we have like kind of a prominent whiteboard in the kitchen that I walk by, you know, before going to bed. And so we just started we would do the same thing where my wife would say, hey, can you take out the trash? And then she would write on the whiteboard, take out trash with like a little, you know, little box for like a checkbox. And be like, yep, got it. And then I would get up from the couch, you know, half hour later or whatever. And then I would see it. And it would be, that was like that missing part from my brain, the prospective memory of be like, oh yeah, that's the thing I was going to do. And then I took out the trash because it was like a, you know, a 2 minute chore. It was like not a difficult thing. I just wasn't remembering it. And so that, and I basically like for the most part, never really forgot again. And we kept that thing, I don't know, probably months where she would, every single night she would write it up there and then I would do it and I would check it off. And there is probably like dopamine in there too, of like getting to check it off every time. And now we don't do it anymore. And it became enough of a ritual for me that she doesn't have to tell me or write it down anymore. It's just like part of it's like ingrained in me. Like I get up off the couch to go to bed, man. And the first thing is I go to do that trash.
Routines work for us pretty well, but man,
yeah, it's really hard to build them up. It's really hard to build them up because it feels like just do a routine and remember to take out the trash every night. And it's like, no, I have to have my wife tell me and write it on the board. And I mean, that's what worked for us. And then it was really helpful because not only did that become a routine for me, but it also showed that like, oh, he's not just a jerk. He literally has been forgetting, because if he was just trying to be lazy, then maybe he would do this for a couple of weeks and then stop doing it again. But it was literally, it was just, I forget every single night, which was terrible. So that ended up being like really helpful for us and sort of like a turning point of realizing like the depth of this ADHD thing and how like, even though you can't see it, it's like legit, it's real.
Yeah.
And it makes a really huge impact.
Yeah, I think the people in my family are starting to realize the depth of it because the memory stuff does seem to be getting worse. And I'm getting better at communicating like, hey, no, I really did want to do this for you. I really forgot. And it's like, what am I supposed to do if my brain deletes it? Like, I don't have a solution there. And there are some strategies, like you were saying, with the, you know, every one of us probably has built our own little strategies to manage this because life would be very unmanageable without those. Like,
right.
I would need a babysitter like full time. Like I would have to have an assistant just like help me because like, if you think about the number of tasks or things you get asked to do on a daily basis, and if you are deleting those immediately in your brain on like on accident, how is that impacting your day and the people around you? Like it's a big deal. It's a really big deal. And it's something that I'm finding more and more like relevant as I get older. I think it's going to be a bigger issue. I mean, when I was younger, I thought I had like Alzheimer's. I was like, this is early. And a lot of people with ADHD, I've heard say that, like, they feel like it's dementia. It's like some sort of Alzheimer's because the memory stuff is so prevalent.
Yeah, I've definitely heard of lots of people finding out about ADHD by Googling like on early onset dementia and things like that, because those issues start to come up and you think you know what ADHD is and you're like, well, that can't be it. So you don't even think about that. You're like, it's got to be something in this. Yeah, dementia, Alzheimer's, something like that. And yeah, it's because I think this memory part of ADHD just isn't really talked about that much.
No, because we forget.
Yeah. Right.
But I'm pumped. So one thing I don't want to forget, and that was super interesting. So thank you. I'm going to go like probably come up with some new strategies to like remember things.
Yeah. One thing on strategy, like real quick, I want to say like for a long time before I knew I had ADHD, because I don't think I said this, but I'm like early 40s now. I was diagnosed at like 36. And so I was pretty like, which felt like I'm like a grown adult here. Like this is pretty late to find out about this thing that's been a huge part of my life this whole time. Although I know people that have been diagnosed in their 60s and stuff like that.
Right.
And it's just like, it's wild not knowing this thing that's such a huge factor. But what I was going to say before I was diagnosed, for a long time, what I was searching for was the solution. And I think that's where it becomes problematic. Like I was looking for like, what is that productivity strategy, that productivity system that's going to be the solution for me to make all this work. And the problem, like once I found out about ADHD and how our motivation works totally different and stuff like that, is like, there is no solution. Like the solution is to continue to find new strategies, because so much of what motivates us is like novelty. And so like, if you found the perfect system, well, that novelty goes away pretty quick. And so you're like really excited for this new strategy for like a week. And then you're like bored with it and it doesn't work anymore. Like the novelty's gone and you're like, I spent all the time building this thing, but now I have no more energy to actually use it to get anything done. And so I think that mindset shift.
Hang on to them, because you'll forget. And it'll come back around, and that strategy will work again, usually.
Yes, I think. Absolutely. Like, it's like I try to think of it. I try to think of it as kind of like a sports playbook. Like you just have this book full of all these different like strategies.
What?
And then you can like cycle them in and out.
Sorry, I'm holding up something that I want to talk about. And it happens to have lots of strategies in it. And it is the book that you just wrote. I'm going to put clappy noises in right there. But I want to talk about this because he's talking about strategies and tools that will help you. And he's trying not to say this, but he just wrote a best-selling book called Extra Focus, The Quick Start Guide to Adult ADHD. And it's amazing.
Thank you.
I just want to shout out real quick.
A lot of it was that idea of, I mean, like I said, like, I didn't even know I'd been seeing, when I first found out about ADHD, I'd been seeing my therapist, who was super helpful, but like, I didn't even find out about that memory being a big issue until several months in. And there was like so many things. I think it was like a year or two later that I found out about rejection sensitivity and how impactful that can be. And I feel like I felt like I kept running into things. I'm like, why did no one tell me that? Like, why did I go see a doctor, talk to them about ADHD, and they didn't tell me anything about like difficulties with time or with memory?
Nothing.
They told me, yeah, nothing.
Nothing.
And so that was a big like motivating factor for writing a book of like, I wanted there to be that quick start guide. Like, hey, maybe you've seen like one too many like TikToks or memes on Instagram or whatever about ADHD, and you're like, maybe I have this. What do I do now? And so I wrote a book as being sort of like, this is a great place to get started. This is like how to find out the basics of like what it is and what you can sort of do about it.
Yeah.
And like strategies being a big part of that for sure.
It's the coolest thing because I like it. It's very easy to read. There's also pictures. Hello.
Yeah. I had a friend.
Like it feels like it's written by someone with ADHD in the best way possible. It is a book that I would recommend for someone who's just finding out that they have ADHD because it is a quick start guide to ADHD. It's not very long.
Yeah. Intentionally while writing it, I was like, there's a particular book that I'm not going to name, but there was a book about ADHD that I tried to read. And I got like 15 pages into it or something. And then there was like a single paragraph that spanned like almost two full pages. So it was just like a wall of text. And I tried to read that page so many times and I just like couldn't get through. I was like, how is this a book about ADHD? Like, but knowing, I can't imagine how someone with ADHD could actually read this. So I very, very intentionally when writing the book, I made it, it's a shorter book. I think it's like 180 pages. But it's like, even that it's spaced. Yeah. Layout is very much like shorter paragraphs, short chapters.
Why aren't all books written this way? Like what the heck? I feel like I've been living on Mars with people who don't understand me because like, right. I love a book written this way. I write my emails this way. I try to write. Do you do that too? I guess you do. You like bullet point things out and make little short paragraphs versus really long paragraphs. Like,
oh, yeah.
I'm very intentional. Oh, your newsletter is like that.
Yeah, too. Yeah, yeah.
And mine is very similar. It's like a little burst of information and a little burst of, like,
right.
Not, let's not go on and on and on. Here's all you need to know. And I like that definitely, about this book.
I was definitely inspired. There's another author who does sort of like, I don't know, kind of business related books. His name is Derek Sivers. He's written a few different books that I really enjoyed. And one of the things I enjoyed about it, the chapters in his books are super short, like sometimes one page, like usually it's kind of like 2 to 3
Ooh,
pages. Maybe
that's
four.
So satisfying. You're like, I read 7 chapters.
Exactly. And so what I found, I got like his first book and I read through it so fast. I was like, this was written for people with ADHD, even though he doesn't write about ADHD at all, but it just felt like this is a perfect kind of book. And then I've read like 5 of his books and they were so easy because of that, like short chapters, like paragraphs with spaces between them rather than like cramming all this text together. And so I definitely was sort of like inspired for that. I was like, if I'm writing a book for people with ADHD, I want it to feel as easy to read as like one of these Derek Sivers books was for me. So I want it to feel like people with ADHD are like, I normally can't read books, but I was able to get through this. No problem. That's what I really hope for it to be.
Let me just say that I've read a lot of ADHD books and I don't think that they're written like that. Like they're not written with the ADHD person in mind. Like I don't understand. I have a hard time getting through ADHD books a lot of times because sometimes they'll also be like too sciencey, like too intellectual, or they're just getting it all wrong, it seems like. And so, yeah, it's refreshing. It's easy. You can read this in a day or two, I think. It's like a quick read, but you can also like highlight some stuff. There's like little check boxes. Like it's kind of interactive in a way.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah, I really
appreciate
it a lot.
I like it
a lot. I've heard that a lot from people that said like, I got it and I hyper-focused and read the whole thing in a night, which is awesome. Cause if you don't read it in a night, like maybe you'll never forget, you remember to go back to the second half of it. So yeah, it's cool that it's been that way for a lot of people, and I'm super excited to have it out and have like, just as a resource for people like that say like, I think I might have this. What do I do now? Like this book is a great place to get started with that.
Definitely is. I will be recommending it from here on out. I personally will own several copies. I already do. If anyone wants to grab the Extra Focus Quick Start Guide to Adult ADHD, where can they find it?
So it's anywhere you can get books online. The best place to go is probably just like extrafocusbook.com. And that has kind of links to most of the places, but you can go to your local bookstore and request it and they should be able to get to it. Or obviously Amazon, anywhere pretty much that books are sold.
Awesome. And you are an ADHD advocate. I didn't introduce you very well in the beginning of this episode, but you're an ADHD advocate. You're a content creator. We met via Instagram, but you have a very large Twitter X following. You're not really on there anymore.
Who knows what name it is, but yeah.
You have a great newsletter. It's probably the largest ADHD newsletter that there is. I'm going to take a bet and say that it probably is the largest one.
Yeah. I'm not sure, but it's I will agree. It's one of the larger ones, and it has the same name as the book. So that's just,
don't be humble. It has like 65 or 70,000 subscribers. It's massive and it's excellent. And I'm going to link it in the show notes where you can go subscribe to that for free. And I will put all the links to the book as well. And I was going to say, I will share where you could follow Jesse on Instagram, the X, wherever else you wanted to send people.
Threads, I have a YouTube channel too. Yeah. TikTok. All over the place.
We got to do all the things now. It's so much.
Awesome. Well, this has been a blast. Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, let's not wait too long before we do the next recording together for sure.
Yeah, that's definitely going to happen. It's fine. All right. Well, thank you. Bye.
Awesome. Bye. Thanks.
Thanks again for listening to My Lady ADHD podcast. You can find more ADHD content online at myladyadhd.com and make sure to give me a follow on Instagram or TikTok at myladyadhd. Bye.